I've decided to use this period of self-isolation to turn one of my books into an audiobook. And to do that, I thought I'd read it out chapter by chapter. Hope some of you like it. It's called Guardian Angel, and it was written in 2006 and self-published in 2008. And here is the synopsis. A serial killer with a weakness for brunettes is on the streets of Boston, Massachusetts. Detective Tim Angel and his partner Dale Faulkner are assigned the case, but to make matters muddier, crime writer Jane Murray has hitched a lift every night for a week to gain insight into the seedier side of life for her next novel. Will Tim stop the murderer before another citizen is killed, or will Jane become the next victim? Chapter 1. Detective Tim Angel bent down next to the body and shook his head. Well, I guess it was going to happen sooner or later. The corpse, a middle-aged woman, lay in its own pool of blood. She had received a fatal blow to the head, if what was left of the skull was anything to go by. "You know her?" Jane Murray asked, then corrected herself. "I mean, knew her?" Tim looked up. From this position, his fair hair, twinned with grey-green eyes, made him appear insipid in the failing Boston light, weak even. But as he stood tall and stepped close to Jane, it was obvious his height and broad shoulders more than made up for any fragility. He offered her a gentle smile. "I've seen her before, Jane. She was homeless." He looked at her trembling hand. "You okay? You need some water?" Jane pushed her short brown hair away from her 30-year-old face. As she looked around at the uniformed officers, she couldn't have looked more out of place in her light jacket, jeans, sweaters, and sneakers. Tim led her to the hood of the police car and leaned against it. "Take a moment. It's not so easy to deal with when you see it for real, is it?" She shook her head. "I see dead bodies all the time on TV, but it never feels real. This poor woman lost her life tonight. Somehow, it just doesn't feel right to be here just because I'm researching a book." Tim nodded. "You want me to organize a car to take you home?" "No," Jane came back quickly. Her reputation as a fiction writer depended on experiences like this, even if it was at the expense of someone else. Last night's drive-along wasn't nearly as thrilling, attending two muggings and a robbery, all of which were frightening in their own way, but dealt with after the event, and were considered just picking up the pieces. She looked over Tim's shoulder, uttering a silent prayer for the woman. "I have to see the seedier side of life. That's why I'm here. Not everyone can handle it, though. It's not a crime to be that way. Can you?" "I've been a cop a long time. Dead bodies are shocking, but it's true. You do get desensitized to some degree." "That's awful, isn't it?" She looked back at him, into his eyes. "Don't you think so?" "I guess," he shrugged. "But if I got grossed out at every call I was sent to, I wouldn't be a very good cop." His making light of the situation relieved her, but also made her feel uneasy. Tim shuffled on his feet. His agitation to get back to the job in hand was vital. "I've got to make some notes. Anything you need, let one of the officers know, okay?" "I should come with you." He smiled, knowing if she took one more look at the body, she'd be throwing up all over the crime scene. "I think you should sit this one out. There's no shame in that." "But, sadly, there'll be plenty more dead bodies," he admitted sourly. "You won't miss a thing, I promise." Jane watched him walk back to the crime scene as the darkness of the evening loomed in amid the flashing blue and red police lights. She inhaled deeply, taking in a mixture of death and exhaust fumes in the air. She wanted to vomit there and then. His words rang in her ears. He was right to assume she didn't want to miss a thing, but writing about dead bodies and seeing them for real were two very separate entities. Her agent, Carl Castor, was the instigator of evenings like this, Carl and his infuriating brother and business partner, Jerry. The pair had been so disappointed with her inability to bring in blockbusting sales from her third book, The Eye of the Storm, saying she'd lost her edge. Seeing real dead bodies, witnessing real crime, Jerry suggested, was the only way to bring back her crime-writing grittiness. Of course, she agreed. Anything to keep her in the Custer's good books, so to speak. But had Jerry or Carl ever seen a real dead body themselves? Had they had to put their stomach contents on the line in the course of their day? Unlikely. She folded her arms over her chest, eyeing Tim and his partner Dale Faulkner from a distance. They knew what they were doing. That much was obvious. Just as she felt the trembling cease, another car pulled up. Coroner, it stated on the side. She walked gingerly over to the scene, following the coroner underneath the newly erected yellow police tape. She watched as they took photos, placed down markers, and made notes. As she leaned over them, once more at the dead woman, there was nothing she could do but allow the sudden pain in her stomach to travel up at supersonic speed into her throat, and within seconds, she'd vomited onto the coroner.